few weeks ago, right around Memorial Day, Patty and I went with Ted and Madeline to the cemetery where Patty and Madeline's mom and dad are buried, and we put some things on their grave. And then after we got done at the cemetery, we went into the downtown Flint, went to the farmer's market, and then we went to Halo Burger and had a hamburger for lunch. First time that I'd been to downtown Flint in a long, long time. And as Ted was driving, I just noticed the different buildings. And he grew up in Flint, and so he was sort of my tour guide. The girls already knew all this, but he would say, you know, that used to be this, and that used to be this, and there used to be something else over here and something else over here. And so I got a history of Flint. I grew up in the Detroit area. In fact, my grandfather, my mom's dad, was a night watchman at the Cadillac Square building in downtown, downtown Detroit. And when I was a kid, like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I would go to work with him at night. My grandmother would pack us a lunch, and most of the people were out of the building by 6 or 7 o'clock, and we stayed till midnight. And from that time until midnight, I and my brother, who often went with us, had the run of the building. We could take the elevators and go up and down, and we could go up on the roof. It was 20 stories up, and we could look over the edge and, you know, see little people down there walking around. My brother sometimes spit off the top of the building. Of course, I was refined as a kid. I wouldn't do something like that. Now, if he were here, he might tell you a different story, but that's my story, so I'm telling it. But we had a good time. And so I knew Detroit. I mean, I knew the different buildings, and I went there. Oh, it's been several years now, and the building where he worked, it has been demolished. In fact, the whole block has been demolished. But if you go into any city, whether it's Detroit or Flint or any other big city, you'll see different kinds of buildings. You'll see in every city, you'll see new buildings that are just opened, buildings where the paint is still fresh and the windows are still clean and the bricks are still bright and colorful. All the lights work. The marble, if there's marble, is spotless. The woodwork is unscratched. I mean, everything works. The plumbing works. The electricity works. The exit lights work. I mean, everything is brand new, and everything works. And in some cases, those buildings are just started to be inhabited. People are just starting to move in to those buildings. They're just starting to use the building for the purpose for which it was built. And those buildings have a bright future. I mean, they have a future that they can look forward to. For many, many years, they will serve the purpose for which they were built. And so any city you go into, you will see new, sparkling buildings. But any city you go into, you'll see also old buildings. Buildings that have been around for a while. Some for a number of years. As you look at those buildings, you go into those buildings, there's some things that no longer work. The windows might be a little bit dirty. The woodwork might be scratched. The paint might be chipped. The brick might not be as bright and colorful as they once were. The lights might not be as bright. I mean, the paint might be a little bit dirty. The carpet might be a little bit worn. And yet, those old buildings, even though they're not as new and not as sparkly as the new buildings, are still being used for the most part for the purpose for which they were built. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years. If that building was built as an office building, in some cases, it's still being used as an office building. If it was built as a hotel, it was still being used as a hotel. Now, there's other old buildings that were built for one purpose that are now being used for another purpose, but they're still being used. The tenants may change, those that inhabit the building. The owners may change, but those buildings are still being used for a purpose. Again, some for the original purpose and some for a new purpose. Then you go into every city, and you'll find buildings that are in the process of being reclaimed. These are buildings that at one time were brand new. one time were very useful. But these are buildings that over the years have been neglected. The roof leaks. The windows are broken. The electricity has been turned off. The plumbing has been ripped out. They've fallen into disarray. And if nobody moves in to reclaim them, those buildings are headed for the wrecking ball. And yet, in some cases, somebody sees the potential. And they reclaim that building and they make it into something useful. Again, it may not be the same purpose for which it was built, but they reclaim that building and make it useful again. They fix the roof. They replace the windows. They rewire. They replumb. They get it back to code. Again, it may not be as majestic as it once was. It may not be as beautiful as it once was, but it is useful once again. And then if you go into any big city, Flint, Detroit, or any other big city, you'll see those kind of buildings, but you'll also see vacant lots. Places in the city where buildings could be, prime spots, center of town, next to other buildings. Next to a bus stop, next to a subway stop, could be home to a building that is very, very useful. No one's built on it yet. Maybe there was a building there at one time that's been torn down, but now it's empty land. But it's land that has the potential to be useful, to be very useful. Again, it's serving no purpose now. It's just an empty piece of land, but that piece of land could house a building, a new building, that would be very useful for that city. So again, you go into any city, you're going to see new buildings. You're going to see old buildings. You're going to see buildings that are in the process of being reclaimed to be useful again. And you're going to see empty lots where buildings could be, where a building that has a purpose could be, but that lot is empty. And again, you put all those types of buildings together, you put them together with the empty lots, and you have a city that's full of buildings. Now, I use that as introduction. I use that as an example to preach my message tonight. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, ye are God's building. We are built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And God has, Jesus is the foundation. Paul and others built upon that foundation. And he says in the last part of verse 10, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul's implying that once we have the foundation of Jesus Christ, we have helpers in our life. We have helpers like Paul in the form of Sunday school teachers and Christians that we look to for counsel and pastors and different people that God's put in our life that will help us build on that foundation. But the Apostle Paul says, hey, you still have some responsibility, and so you need to be careful. You need to take care how you build upon that foundation that's been laid in your life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, here's my message. We as a church are like a city. If we are God's buildings, if the people of our church are God's buildings, we have the same kind of structures in our church that you'll find in any city. First of all, we have some new buildings. Little babies, little children, those that are just starting out. Their paint is still fresh. Their windows are still clean. Everything works. They wait till I get to the old buildings. Oh, but anyhow, they are spotless. They are unscratched. They are untarnished by the world. They are just God is just starting to mold their life, them as a building, them as a vessel, into a life that he can use. Now again, when they're young like that, they depend on us to help them build. They depend on us to help them lay that foundation of Jesus Christ in their life. And when they're young, they depend on us to help them build on that foundation. And so, for those new buildings that God has put in our church, and I praise God for the children that he's given us in this church. That's one of the signs that I look to know that God is not done with us as a church. If he was done with us as a church, we'd have no kids. But the fact that we have a good group of children tells me that God still wants to use us as a church. So let's help them. Let's lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in their life. Let's teach them from the time they're in the nursery and they go into Kelly's class and then they go into the juniors and then Awana. Let's teach them that they're sinners. Let's teach them there's a penalty for that sin. Let's teach them that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin. Let's help them receive Christ as their Savior. Let's teach them the Word of God. Let's teach them that what sin is. Let's teach them that God has a perfect standard in this book. And again, none of us can live up to it, but that doesn't mean we ought to try. Paul says, I press toward that mark. I haven't attained yet, but I haven't given up. And let's teach those new buildings, those little children, that God has given them an instruction book that tells them how he wants them to live. And as Kelly testified a moment ago, has the answer to every problem that we'll face in our life. Let's tell them about God. Let's teach them about Jesus. Let's teach them the songs, Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves the Little Children of the World. Let's pray and witness and ask God to save them at an early age. Let's teach them that there are things that are wrong in this world. Let's teach them that they ought not to smoke and they ought not to drink and they ought not to live together before they get married. Let's help them pick their friends. Let's help them pick the TV shows that they watch and the movies that they watch and the songs that they listen to and the books that they read and the magazines that they may look at. Let's do our best to help them stay clean, to help them stay pure, to help them stay spotless before God so that he can use them for the purpose for which he made them. They're new. They're clean. God has a purpose for every little baby. I can't wait. I don't know where Dory is tonight. I saw Anna, just Anastasia a minute ago. I always ask her, I say, Anna, can you give me an amen before I preach tonight? Most of the time she waits till I turn and walk away and then she says amen. Tonight she says amen while I was still there. I can't wait to see the purpose that God has for little Anastasia. She already knows in her life, and her mom and dad and her grandpa and grandma are going to tell her how God has worked in her life already. I can't wait to see what God is preparing to use her for. He has a purpose for every little baby. God has a purpose for every little child. He has a design. He has designed their life with a reason. Let's do our part to help them be what God wants them to be. Again, help them lay that foundation of Jesus Christ in their life. Help them build on that foundation in their early years. I tell you, let me remind you tonight, Satan wants those kids. He does. Satan wants those kids. He wants to mess them up. He wants to destroy their life before it even starts. Thank God for new buildings. Thank God for the children that he has entrusted us with. They are the future of this church. And we need to help them keep themselves so that they can accomplish God's will in their life. So we have some new buildings. Number two, we have some old buildings. Buildings that God has been using for years. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and you can go on and on. I won't go on and on, but in some cases, more than 50 years. They're still plugging along. They're still doing what God wants them to do. Sometimes the paint is chipped. Sometimes everything may not work the way it used to work. Sometimes it creaks and rattles and is wrinkled. But these old buildings are still serving God. They're still useful to Him. Praise God for these old buildings. They are our example of faithfulness. They are our example of sticking to the job, of sticking to the task, of still trying to accomplish, even though they've been in service for a long, long time, still trying to accomplish the purpose that God has made them to accomplish. So, we have some new buildings. We have some old buildings. Number three, we have some buildings that are in the process of being reclaimed. Folks that have went into sin, messed up their life. Sin has taken them down, down, down. I'll remind you tonight, the Bible says sin looks good for a while, but when it's finished, it leadeth unto death. Sin will take you places that you don't want to go. It'll cause you to do things that you don't want to do, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will destroy our testimony for God. It will destroy our usefulness for God. In these buildings that need to be reclaimed, the roof leaks, using my analogy. The windows are broken. The electricity's turned off. The plumbing's ripped out. These buildings themselves sometimes get to the point where they say, God can never use me again. He might as well bring in the wrecking ball. He might as well condemn me. He might as well just go ahead and destroy me. But then Jesus comes and says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus says, everybody else may have given up on you, and you may have given up on yourself. Satan may have discarded you, and that's what Satan does when he gets through with us in sin. He just throws us away. We're no use to him. We're not going to hell, but he's destroyed our usefulness for God. And everybody else may have given up on us. We may have given up on ourselves. Satan may have thrown us away, but praise God, God never gives up on us. I'm glad we have a God of the second chance. I'm glad we have a God of the third chance. I'm glad that God always has an alternate will for our life. Those buildings that are in the process of being reclaimed, God may not be able to use for the original purpose that He made them, but He's got another way that He can use them. May have to fix a few things. May have to take some sandpaper and a file and a hammer. It may hurt a little bit as God reclaims that building. It may smart a little bit, but God can reclaim any life. He can reclaim it from drugs. He can reclaim it from alcohol. He can reclaim it from any kind of wicked living. And He can save us from the wrecking ball if we'll let Him. He says, I can use you again. I can give you a purpose in life. I can make you useful again if you'll let me. So we have some new buildings. We have some old buildings. We have some buildings that are in the process of being reclaimed. And then number four, we have some vacant lots. People that come to our church that have lots of potential. They have talent, but they're not using it for God. They have ability, but they're not using it for God. They have influence on other people, but they never use it to influence anybody for God. They come, they sit in a pew. And again, don't think I'm mad at the empty lots. I'm not mad at the empty lots. I look at those empty lots and I say, boy, how God could use that person. how God could use the talent that they have, how God could use the ability that they have, how God could use the influence that they have. If only they would say, Lord, here I am, use me. If they would say like Isaiah, here I am, send me. If they would say like Jeremiah, I'll go. We are God's buildings. Some new, some old, some being reclaimed, some unused, empty lots. But God has a plan for each one of us. God wants to use each one of us. Ye are God's building, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, built for a purpose, a reason. Find out what it is. And then serve Him. Serve Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this encouragement from your word. We find ourselves in one of these categories, or maybe a couple of those categories. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. You would remind us that we need to build our life on Jesus Christ, but then you would remind us that we need to serve you. Thank you for the great privilege that you've given us to have all these new buildings in our midst. I pray you'll help us old buildings to be what those new buildings need to build their life on Jesus Christ and then to serve Him. Thank you for the old buildings, their faithfulness, their stick-to-iveness, still serving God after years and years and years. Thank you for their example. And then God, thank you that you are God that reclaims, that can take us from the depths of sin, make us a useful vessel, a useful building for you again. So I pray you speak to our hearts tonight. You would encourage us, you would instruct us, you would rebuke us. Whatever you need to do, you would do it in our hearts and our souls tonight. Use this time of invitation to speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.